listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. He is able, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Listen to who he addresses, come ye sinners, and come to Jesus. To read from 1 Timothy, once again, Paul's exhortation to him concerning prayers for all men, and particularly for kings and for all that are in authority. Reading the first two verses from 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. This Lord Jesus, the man, is also with the Father, the King eternal, immortal, invisible. Let's pray to him, asking for these things that Paul exhorts us to do. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come asking in his name, as well as giving of thanks, as we are directed to do here, both to make supplication for the things needed so desperately, also to give thanks for the things given, and for many, and us especially, so abundantly. We give thee thanks for the blessings in nature. We give thee thanks for the blessings of a nation, the freedom that we have. We give thanks above all for thy grace in Christ Jesus, of thy love in giving him, in thy grace, in the power of thy grace to make him known, that we might know our need of him, that we might know that, as we read, one mediator between thee and us, even the man, Christ Jesus, he who thought it not robbery to be equal with thee from eternity, yet took on him the form of a man, and humbled himself to the death of the cross. We give thanks, Father, for what he did here on earth, glorifying thy name, dying for us, rising again, ascending up to heaven, and sat down on the right hand of thee, in the majesty most high, making intercession for us. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt be praying for us and for all nations, and especially that thou wilt do as thou hast said, I will build my church, and the church might be built in every nation, that it might be a salt, a light, a witness. A witness to the rest of the people, and a witness to the leaders of each and every nation. We pray, Father, especially for those who are persecuted in their nations, that they might continue to be a witness in spite of the persecution, that they might continue to show, as thou didst, Lord Jesus, when thou wast reviled, thou reviled not again. Thou dost set for an example for us and for those who are persecuted. We pray for those who have temporal needs, and sickness, and injury, and sorrow, the homeless, the hungry, the troubled homes, the older, aged, and lonesome, the widowers, the widows. We pray, Father, for the children in the troubled and broken homes. We pray also for those where there is drought and calamities of wind, earthquakes, storm. We pray that thou would continue to give the blessings that are needed, if it could be thy will, in the temporal blessings, but above all, in the eternal, and that we might be made to seek them first of all, today and every day, all through Christ. Amen. We'd like to continue this, which we've read for a number of times, reading also a portion a little later from Jeremiah 28, a time of trouble in that nation. And though there were still, in many ways, a quiet and peaceable life, and they were told that if they would repent, they would not be removed from the land, but they did not repent. And finally, God even went so far as to say, pray not for this people. Yet the judgment spoken of would not be averted. And as we can read in the last chapter of Chronicles, till there was no remedy, God sent his prophets early, sending them betimes, because he had compassion on his people and his place. And though Israel has probably been in a different place than any other nation throughout history, yet God here is telling us to pray for all men. Christ had said the afternoon of his resurrection, telling his apostles to preach the gospel, to preach repentance and remission of sins to all nations, every nation. And that means all people, in every nation, because it's a command to preach to every creature, and it is as well leaders. Leaders and people. And here it is for all men, and then particularly mentioning kings, for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I was just reading recently the terrible massacre in Poland in the latter 1930s, 1940s, somewhere in that area, evidently done by Russia. First, when we were in companionship with Russia, with fighting against Germany, all the nations agreed that they would say that the Germans did it. Finally, it has been admitted what really happened, and thousands of Polish leaders, generals, lieutenants, other able people, lawyers, were killed, massacred, buried in a huge grave. Terrible. No quiet and peaceable life for them. We have today terrible calamities going on. And some nations, some are saying that together the nations ought to go against such a nation where the dictators are killing their people. What if that dictator was killing 3,000 every day? What an uproar there would be. What a cry there would be that organizations such as the United Nations and maybe NATO, others, would do something. Stop it. But what about our nation? Killing 3,000 unborn babies every day. Every day, 3,000 unborn babies killed in their mother's womb. In some of these countries, some could probably justify some of the things being done because they're rising up against their leaders. God is said to be subject to those that are in authority over us. There are no leaders, there's no authority, there's no powers that be but are of God. God allows wicked leaders as well as good leaders, sometimes for the punishment of the people. But those babies have not done one thing wrong against other citizens of the country. Not one thing wrong against the leaders of the country. We've deprived ourselves over the last number of years of many citizens that would be good citizens if they had been allowed to be born. And sometimes by just continuing this and repeating it, we think, well, don't say it again. But it must be stopped. We hear this party and that party going to make our nation strong. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to make it economically good again. What does God think of this? What does God think of our hypocrisy, our deceit, our pride, our Laodicean state in the church? Yes, some churches are speaking against it, and some do more than others. But are we willing to pray that not only we, you and me, might lead a quiet and peaceable life, but that babies may not be chased to their death in the mother's womb, sought after, sometimes cut to pieces, torn out. Terrible, terrible, terrible. If all the happenings were to be put on a picture, and we'd have the 3,000 in a row every day to look at, especially some of the most gruesome. How terrible. If it was done to a grown-up by another person, headlines in the paper would flash. The televisions would want to show pictures of it. How terrible. How terrible. And yet our news media, though willing every day almost to give the account when there was war in Iraq, so many dead, so many dead, so many dead. And it took a long time, many years, to reach 3,000. But there was an alarm. There was a holding up. So many, so many, so many. During that time, over 1 million. Hotborn killed. 3,000 or 4,000 soldiers, terrible as it was, awful. Probably unprofitable. Possibly did more harm than good. We don't know. Only God knows. But here, yes, there's little campaigns, but there's people running for president. When they begin to run, one of the first things they will advertise is they are for abortion. So-called woman's right to be a murderer and not be prosecuted for it. To kill her unborn, to take away the quiet peaceableness of that life. Will we pray? Will we do as God said through the Apostle Paul to Timothy and to us? All Scripture is given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. One of the things we can have in instruction in righteousness, though there are many more, is to pray. First of all, Paul says, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. We have a country that has rules and laws and has a constitution that if we actually would go according to our constitution, we could stop the government from making it legal. There'd be only one point, only one area. I've had a woman that I knew that attended church for a time, told me she killed her unborn. Yes, it's in the church. It's a terrible, terrible thing. It's everywhere. But are we warning against what leads to it? What leads to abortion? First, there must be the seed of the child. The beginning. Beginning right. If it begins wrong, it often ends in abortion. Men are as guilty as women, sometimes more. Sometimes there are boyfriends, sometimes even husbands, sometimes, sadly, parents that would encourage abortion. Sometimes the girls, the women, are the most helpless victims, though guilty, but can be forgiven if you are one. There is hope. You can start to pray. And I hope that we will recognize that in our nation. We talk about this, we talk about that, we talk about other things, but we talk very little about abortion. The killing of the unborn, the murderous ways of our government, of our women, of our doctors, our nurses, our fathers, and who, only God knows who else. All guilty, 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 guilty. When we take this time of Jeremiah, one of the things that God said was he could not pardon the sins of Judah because of the innocent blood that flowed. We don't know all the details. It was primarily in the time of Manasseh. Sometime earlier, Manasseh, Hezekiah's son. Hezekiah was a good king, but he had a son who was a wicked king. God did bring him to repentance in his last days, and as the scripture says, he took him among the thorns, chastised him, brought him to repentance. But the damage was done for all the innocent blood that flowed, for all that had been killed, and the damage was done for the nation. God could not pardon that nation for the innocent blood that flowed. Yes, judgments have come to some nations and our own as well in the ways of tornadoes, floods, hurricanes. Sometimes when these hurricanes have come, people say this is God's judgment. When one man says it, others rise up. No, you cannot say that. Not necessarily that the places where the tornado strikes or where the hurricane comes are more guilty and need the judgment of God more than others. Like the Lord Jesus said, Do you think those on whom the Tower of Siloam fell were greater sinners than other? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. All likewise perish. All likewise perish. The hurricane is past. Many of the tornadoes are past. But the word still comes to us, except we repent, we shall likewise perish for those who died, for those who were killed. God could visit the whole nation. Yes, we talk about electing this one or that one, or continuing this one or that one, and the good things we will have, the good times we will have. Can we have good times when we so flagrantly disobey the God of whom we say we are one nation under God? And whether you want to say it or not, or if you like to take it away, it makes no difference. We are one nation under God. And all the rest of the nations are under God as well. And we need to know it. We need to know it in the church. The church needs revival in many ways. In doctrine, obedience, and in prayer. And today I like to think mostly about prayer. Paul, who wrote this to Timothy, was described in the beginning of his right relationship with Christ, or the beginning of becoming right, as, "Behold, he prayeth." Later, he said of himself, "I have continual prayer and sorrow for my brethren, my kindred according to the flesh, that they might be saved." He had prayer for others. That's included here, too. Not only to pray to kings and authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Listen to verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Sometimes people want to take a verse like that and take away God's predestination or his election, his choosing. That isn't necessarily what he says. All men, every man, everywhere. We read in Romans that God says of Pharaoh, "For this purpose have I raised thee up, that I might make my power known." I think all men here means all kinds of men in every sphere of life, every nation, every color, every tribe, every person. And in the end, there will be those from every nation, every tongue, every tribe to make up that multitude that no man can number. Listed in the book of Revelation, who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Here, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Sometimes we pray for a good president. Do we pray for our president to be made good? And any candidate that will run for president to be made good. Made good by God. When the rich young ruler came to Christ, he says, "Good master, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God?" Or eternal life. Christ says, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God." Only God can make any leader, any king, any there in authority, good for the nation. Only God. And we can pray to God through Christ. When Jeremiah pronounced judgment, time of Zedekiah, it's coming near the end. There had been other kings before Zedekiah that already were carried away captive, and the captivity was begun. Deaths had taken place, and there came a false prophet, Hananiah. We can read that in Jeremiah 28, says, "Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and all the people, saying," there they were, in God's house, in the temple. And this prophet came there, said to Jeremiah, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon." It had been there now for a few years. As I said, there were kings already carried away captive. Things out of the house of the Lord, the temple, were carried away captive. And this Hananiah said, "I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." This is what this prophet Hananiah said. Then The prophet Jeremiah said to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priest, the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah, very much alone in his prophecy of prophesying doom, prophesying judgment. First the call to repentance, and then finally saying, judgment is going to come. But when Hananiah made this prophecy, Jeremiah said, Amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house, and all that are carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear now the word that I speak in thine ears, and in the ears of all the people, the prophets that have been before me and before thee, of old prophesied both against many countries, and against great kingdoms of war, and of evil, and pestilence. The prophets which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly done and sent him. Jeremiah had prophesied doom. Hananiah was prophesying peace. It's soon going to come again. Everything's going to be all right. Hananiah then took the yoke that Jeremiah was wearing to show that they were going to have the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. And he break it. Then the word of the Lord came again to Jeremiah, verse 12 of Jeremiah 28. After that Hananiah had broken the yoke, he says, Go and tell Hananiah, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, and they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him also the beast of the field. There were many nations. A little later, I believe there were 127 nations, all under the jurisdiction. First of the Babylonians, the Medes and Persians, others reigning. All these different nations were under that yoke. But then Jeremiah said to Hananiah, The Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust a lie. Therefore, saith the Lord, I will cast thee from the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. God is a God of judgment, as well as a God of love. Love only through Christ. Judgment on sin that is not covered by the blood of Christ. We need again awakening like the time of Edwards. We need man in government like William Wilberforce. Another message I would like to read, both of some of the converts, the Great Awakening, and the life of William Wilberforce, who changed the face of that nation in the 1700s, abolishing slavery and other good things, all because he came to know that he needed Christ. Yes, in the parliament, in government, all need Christ, so the rest of the nation may lead a quiet and peaceable life.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord.